أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، اعرف ماذا لك وماذا عليك. Know the rights that are due to you and the rights that are due upon you to others. This is the series that we are talking about, and we have said before that the rights are divided into two categories: rights that are due to the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rights that are due to the creations, to other people. We have spoken about the right and the most important right, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us before. If you notice, we are talking about rights that are due to others upon us, not the rights that are due to us upon others, because most of us know their rights, but unfortunately they don't know the rights of others upon them. Most of the problems that we have, most of the talk that we hear is usually, what about my rights? What about my rights? You never talk about, am I really fulfilling the rights of my spouse? Am I really fulfilling the rights of my Muslim brother? Am I really fulfilling the rights of my neighbors? The rights of my children, the rights of my parents, and so forth. We don't talk about that. We concentrate only on our rights, and that's why I am addressing rights that are due to others upon us. The second right, which is actually the number one right of the creations about us, upon us, is the right of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the right to other people, and the best and the highest of all people is the right of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the second right. We know that this is the highest and the biggest right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira litu'minu billahi wa rasulihi wa tu'azziruhu wa tuwaqqiruhu wa tusabbihuhu bukratan wa asila." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means that we have sent you, addressing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a glad bearer and a warner and a witness upon people, so that you would believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hold him in the highest esteem, reverence, love, support, and respect. And that is the address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us for the right of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To not hold the right of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us is very scary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us from a fitna. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those people who deviate away, who turn away from the commands of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let them be cautioned, be aware that a fitna may be inflicted upon them, or a punishment, or severe punishment in this world and in the hereafter. What is the fitna? The scholar said, the fitna is shirk. Yani a person who turns away from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands may die as a disbeliever or as a mushrik, as a punishment of not submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by loving and respecting and supporting His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah stated to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also commended believers who hold Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in respect all the way. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. That the only saying, the only response for the believers when they are commanded or asked to accept the judgment as based or as set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say, we hear and we obey. Submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you notice that many of us, when we talk about the obedience to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at things as always sunnah. It's just a sunnah. It's just a sunnah. And many people belittle the sunnah when you talk about that. Oh, is this a sunnah or this is a fard? Many of us don't know that sunnah can have a wajib, a must that you have to do. If you don't, you will be punished. I'll give you an example. An example for that is eating with your right hand. Even though that we know that the shaitan eats and drinks with his left hand, so we're supposed to differ. We know that it is a command from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that we are commanded to use the right hand in everything good. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do that, and he used to command by saying, Tayamanu. And we know that everything indecent or everything dirty, we use the left hand with. We know that when we go to the bathroom that we are supposed to clean ourselves with the left hand, and it is haram to use the right hand. We know all of this. But when it comes to eating, it is a little bit more strict or more stringent rules, as stated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw one person eating with his left hand. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded him to eat with his right hand. He said, "Kul bi yaminik." Qala la astati. He said, "I don't, or I can't. I can't, but out of arrogance." And when we say arrogance, many of us say, "Oh, you know, Sheikh, when I eat with my left hand, I don't really mean arrogance. Oh, this is like if you wear your clothes below the ankles. Oh, Shaykh, I don't mean arrogance. Oh, Shaykh Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to do this and used to do that." We try to find things and hold fast to it so we can break the rules. Now, he said, I don't want to. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of arrogance. Usually, most of the people, if you talk to them, eat with your right hand. If you notice and listen to the answer, most of them very clearly saying it either out of arrogance or out of belittling the sunnah. And remember, we are talking about what? We're talking about holding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands in high esteem, in high regards and acceptance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned people from severe punishment or die as a mushrik if they don't. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show us the severity of rejecting that command, he told him, "Lastatat," you may never be able to eat with your right hand because of what he said. He rejected that. Yaqul ar-rawi shullat fil hal, falam yarfa yadahu ila fihi. His hand, right hand, became paralyzed immediately, and he could not raise it to his mouth to eat or drink by it. Why? Because of his rejection to the command of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we will be looking at some of those points that shows high respect and pay the rights to that are due upon us to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one right is to believe in his special and detailed prophethood, being the last prophet, that his message abrogated all the messages before him. And what this entails, we know what, when we believe in the messengers, al-iman bil-rusul, when we talk about the pillars of faith, We believe in all the messengers, in specifics and in details. In specifics, with the names and of all the prophets that are mentioned in the Quran and taught to us by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in general, we believe in all the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, which in some ahadith mentioned that 124,000 prophet and 315 messengers. We believe in that in general. Here, when we talk about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believing in his detailed message, being a messenger and being a prophet, that means to believe him in everything that he has told us, to obey him in everything that he commanded us, to stay away from all the prohibitions that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from doing, and to not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything different than the way he taught us. You know, when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, what does that mean? It means no deity worthy of worship. It means no deity worthy of worship. We worship no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is sincerity component. That your action is not accepted unless you fulfill that. And the second one, Muhammad Rasulullah, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger, which entails that I testify that what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us is what I'm going to follow. This is following the sunnah, which is the second component of the actions to be accepted. In order for your action to be accepted, it has to be sincere and it has to be according to the sunnah, which is according to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La ilaha illallah fulfills the first part and Muhammad Rasulullah fulfills the second part. So this is very clear in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. So if you believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you do not follow his sunnah, then what kind of belief is that? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the messengers? He sent the messengers so he can teach us and relate to us what he wants from us and what are the rights that are due upon us to him subhanahu wa ta'ala through the messengers. And that's why he sent messengers, human beings like us, so they can relate to us. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. This is an ayah that tells us how the companions used to deal with the commands of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This ayah is so conclusive and so comprehensive. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded you to do, do it, and anything he commanded you to refrain from, refrain from it. And that is the meaning of, or why we understand that the companions radiallahu anhum, they used to differentiate not between sunnah and not sunnah, or fard, or this is sunnah mustahabba, or this is sunnah wajiba. Everything to them is a sunnah. Based on this ayah, whatever Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded, they fulfill it. They don't look at it, is this a wajib, or this mustahab, or this and that, the way we do it these days. And that is because they hold Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and give him the right place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, which is to be followed exactly the way he taught us. And that is what the companions radiallahu anhum used to do. The second right, وجوب الإيمان بأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة. We have to believe that Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم delivered the message, fulfilled the trust, which is teaching us this religion, and he has advised us on everything good, and he had صلى الله عليه وسلم warned us about everything bad that might take us away from the Jannah. Look at this hadith. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وَأَيِّمِ اللَّهِ لَقَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مِثْلِ الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا
ونهارها سواء. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have left you على مثل البيضاء, يعني كالقلب الأبيض الصافي. أنتم تعلمون إذا أذنب العبد ذنبا نكت في قلبه نكتة سوداء. When you make a sin, a dark dot is put in the heart of the believer. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have left you like a white heart that is pure. Now, if you look at a white heart, he gave more description to it. ليلها ونهارها واحد. يعني, here is a land that is very bright and white. Whether it is during the day or it is during the night, it is the same. Bright white. I have left you like that, meaning that I have taught you everything that you need to know, and I have left nothing that may leave you confused or not knowing how and what to do in relation to fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He wants you to be served. So He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that He has taught us everything that we need to know, and that is the meaning ala al-mahajjat al-bayda. And He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also delivered a sermon when He made Hajj on the year 11th after Hijrah. When He made the Hajj, He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the companions all their rights that are due to them and due upon them. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a sermon. At the end of that sermon, he told the companion, Allahumma hal ballaght. He asked him, did I deliver? Did I deliver the message? Did I complete the trust? And they testified, yes. He said three times, Allahumma fashhad, Allahumma fashhad, Allahumma fashhad, O Allah be my witness, O Allah be my witness, O Allah be my witness. And we know, and sufficient for us to know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified that He did deliver when He said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today I have completed and perfected your religion, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Ma'idah. The third right, brothers and sisters, is mahabbatur rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa taqdimu mahabbatihi ala nafs wa sa'ir al-khalq. We are to love Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not only to love Him, we have to love Him more than anyone else. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا. Say, if your fathers, your children, your brothers, your spouses, your commerce, your homes, everything more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, and to strive in His way, then wait. And that's a threat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you love anyone more than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what do we mean by loving something more than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We mean that you may give up a sunnah simply because of someone else telling you to leave it, or simply because of someone who doesn't like the sunnah, you do it in front of him, or because of a personal opinion, or because you follow your whims and desires, or because of anything. Leaving the sunnah is preferred or is looked upon that you have loved something more than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added more to it. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, wallahi inni uhibbuk أكثر من أهلي ومالي وولدي. O Prophet of Allah, I love you more than my children, my wife, my family, and my wealth. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمِن نَفْسِكَ and yourself. Because Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, إِلَّا نَفْسِي except myself. Like I love you more than anything except myself. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ No, O Umar, the son of Al-Khattab, حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكَ مِن نَفْسِكَ until you love me more than yourself. قال رضي الله عنه والله إني لأحبك أكثر من نفسي. He said immediately, O Prophet of Allah, wallahi now I love you more than myself. How do we look at that? We say that he didn't know that he was supposed to love him more than himself. As soon as he knew, he submitted and he loved him more than himself. And this is the difference between us and the companions. This is the difference between people who submit immediately to the command and people have to think about it before they can submit to it. The fourth right is تعظيم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, to hold the Prophet Muhammad or Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم high, real high in position and in love and in support. Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he said, لَقَدْ دَخَلْتُ عَلَى الْمُلُوكِ I have entered at the kings. And I have never seen anybody more revered and more loved and more respected by his companions as much as I saw Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam companions loving and respecting him. They used to submit whenever he commands them to do anything. When he makes wudu, they fight over the water that falls from his wudu parts, body parts. When he used to speak, they used to listen as if birds landing on their heads. Yani so quiet and so attentive. When they used to talk to him, they used to lower their voice and not speak to him in a loud voice. They used to not dare or could stare him or look him in the eye. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anh, he said, I have loved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I have been with him in many situations. By Allah, I never really looked him one time directly in the eye as much and as high I see him and I love him. I could not even look him straight in the eye because of the high respect that I have for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is to tell you, brothers, as Al-Qadi Iyad radiallahu anhu wa rahimahullah qal, wa'alam أن حرمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد موته وتوقيره وتعظيمه لازم كما كان حال حياته. القاضي عياض رحمه الله said that know that loving and respecting Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم not only during his time. Now we know we have to love him during his time. Or the companions رضي الله عنهم have to love him and respect him and everything during his time. And some of us think, how do you love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and respect him and support him after his death? Qadi Iyad radiallahu anhu wa rahimahullah said, by listening to his hadith, by reading his hadith, by learning his hadith, by learning about him, about his biography, by teaching it to people, and by teaching it especially to our children, and teach our children how to love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how to respect him. Like for instance, many of us don't tell their children stories about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, and this is defect. This is shortcoming in our part to raise our children, especially here where they don't hear much mention of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. So loving him sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his time is the same or should be loved even when he is not there. You know, you hear some of the stories about the hadith, the ulama, the scholars of hadith, when they used to recite the hadith, if they are reclining, they sit properly, they fix themselves, they pretend as if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting in front of them, and they start to tremble, fearing that they might say something inappropriate or something wrong or misinterpret something or not say the hadith properly the way Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the proof to that, after they finished, they used to say, or something like that, or similar to that, or as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. You know, the point that we are making here is they sit up, they are scared, they make sure to deliver the message as is. All of that respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and holding him in high regards and high reverence as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us. The fifth right, brothers and sisters, is as-salah wa taslim ala nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wal ikthar min dhalik. To always send salam and salah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the fifth right. And the best salah is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. This is the best. But whenever you hear his name, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether you read it or whether you say it or whether you hear it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you talk to your children and they say Muhammad, don't let them do that. If you're teaching them, if your children in an Islamic school, or you're reading for them from an Islamic book, and they reading any place they hear, or they, I mean any place they read the name Muhammad, stop them and make them say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the point that you cannot, it's like breathing. Whenever you hear the name Muhammad, always sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It comes so common and so used. And if you want to know how rewarding that is, sufficient to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels are making salah upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. O you who believe, make salah and taslim, salamu alaykum, to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of you might ask, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make salah? And how do the angels make salah? We know how to make salah. We either read Allahumma salli ala Muhammad until the end, salah al-Ibrahimiyya, or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The asl salat tarahum, the origin of salah is to make or to send rahmah. So salah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is having mercy on him. Salah from the angels upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know our salah. So when we say that the angels make salah and istighfar to us, they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to have mercy on us. Also salah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can mean mentioning the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among the best of the angels who are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-bakhil alladhi man dhukirtu 'indahu falam yusalli 'alayhi." You know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask the companions questions sometimes for the purpose of attracting attention. And sometimes they used to say Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, and sometimes they used to answer depending on the situation. Here he asked sallallahu alayhi wasallam the companions, which one of you know who is al-bakhil? Anyone of you knows what al-bakhil, the miser, is? قالوا البخيل من لا متاع له ولا مال. The miser person is the person who does not have wealth and of course doesn't give any of that wealth, because you have difference between بخيل and شحيح. بخيل and شحيح. بخيل is a person who spends on his family, but very cheap and very miser when it comes to anything else. Shahih is the person who is very cheap and very does not spend even on himself and his own family. We know Hind radiallahu anha, when she came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining to him about her husband, she said, "Inna zawji rajulun shahih." My husband is rajul shahih. Do you allow me to take some money from him without him knowing? Why is she saying that? Because he doesn't give her even her rights. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed her to do that, equivalent to her right, because it is her right. So the point is difference between bakhil and shahih. So the companions radiallahu anhum said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we're not talking about that. We're talking about al-bakhil alladhi dhukirtu indahu falam yusalli alayhi. The real miser is the one who hears my name mentioned at his presence and he does not send salah and salam to me by saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Also Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man salla alayya salah sallallahu alayhi biha ashra. Look how beautiful this is. Anyone who says send salah and salam to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do 10 for him. Yani by saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have 10 mercies upon you for saying that. This is the virtue. Al-Qadi Iyad and other scholars, they said to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a wajib. A wajib on every Muslim, and yani almost there is consensus on that it is a wajib on every person when he hears the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sixth one is to know and believe in all the miracles that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving. Those miracles that held him in high esteem and high status even over other prophets. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "U'titu khabsan lam yu'tahunna ahadun qabli." I was granted 5 things no prophet or messenger has been granted those before me. Nusirtu bil ru'b masirat ash-shahr. I was given victory over the enemy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilling terror in their hearts a distance of 1 month from where I am. This is a miracle. Who is putting the terror in their hearts? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I give you, I don't know how applicable this is, but the battle of Tabuk. It's a distance of almost a month. And it was the toughest and the hardest year upon the companions, and they went to meet the Romans. What happened? They never showed up. They never showed up. And who started it? Them. While Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went to meet them, because they were invading or planning to invade the Medina. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ decided to meet them rather than wait, sit and wait for them to come. What did they do? After they heard about him, they were scared to come out and meet him. And that is an example. The second one, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. Earth or the land was made for me as a place of sujood and a source of purity. In tayammum, when there's no water, you touch the ground and you make tayammum. And when you want to pray, you don't have to go to the masjid. You don't have to go to a special place to pray. You can pray anywhere where you are because it is made especially for Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Jews and Christians, they cannot pray anywhere. They have to go to the church and to the synagogues and the temples like it was before. Not so with us. The third one, that ghanaim or the spoils of the war became halal for Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Before, the spoils of the war was not halal for the prophets. After that, it used to be gathered and then fire would come from the sky and consume that. For Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the war booty was to be divided among the fighters. Also, عطيت الشفاعة, he was granted the intercession. All prophets, the highest and the best of the prophets, like Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa, Isa, Ibrahim alayhi salam, none of them could intercede. Yet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given the intercession the day of judgment. The fifth one, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ يُبْعَثُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهُ وَبُعِثُ إِلَىٰ النَّاسِ كَافَّ. The Prophet used to be sent to his people only. I was sent to all mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We sent you not but as a mercy for all mankind. Of course, there are other miracles and other specialties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like he would be the messenger who would have the highest number, the biggest number of followers the day of judgment. He would be the first to open the door of the Jannah. He would be the first that the earth cracks open, and he would be resurrected the day of judgment. And as I mentioned, he will be the first one to intercede for the people the day of judgment. Two more rites. The seventh right, تجنب الغلو فيه والحذر من ذلك. To avoid exaggerating love to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to caution ourselves from that. You know, after I told you how we are supposed to love him, you could conclude that we're really exaggerating. No, we're not. When we say love him more than yourself, your wife, your family, your children, your wealth, everything, you're not exaggerating. You're not really exaggerating. Without him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where would you be? Who are you without him? Who are you without his teachings? Who are you without following him? Who are you without his intercession? We're nothing. So whatever you do, it's not really exaggerating. But here is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was warning us from exaggerating, not in love. He deserves that love. There's no exaggerations there. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam knows that he was commanded to serve Allah and to have sincerity for every ibadah to Allah. He was afraid that we love him more to the point that we start dealing with him and forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the fear. لا تطروني كما أطرت اليهود والنصارى عيسى بن مريم. Do not love me or exaggerate loving me like the Christians and the Jews exaggerated the love of Isa alayhi salam. I am a messenger and I am a servant of Allah. Concentrate on the word servant, meaning he is one of the creations of Allah. He is not the creator. He is a servant to the master, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and commanded him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايِ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Who is talking? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking. And he is commanding who to say that? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is he saying? Tell them that my prayer, naturally, if you pray not to yourself, you pray to someone else. This is Allah. Wa nusuki, my slaughter. Who are you slaughtering? In the name of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mahyaya wa mamati, my life and my death. If you have life and you have death, naturally you're not God. And everything you do in life and everything that you shall be doing or coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in death, all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the commands that we are getting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for not exaggerating his love. Now some people can exaggerate the love by not only making Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equal to Allah, they can exaggerate by lying. Lying about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of talking good of him. Madh, you know, they're commending him with lies. Like some of them might say, the Prophet who knows the unseen, يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know that. So this is haram and this is exaggeration in the love of Allah, of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتْ وَاوْ وَاوِ الْمَعِيَّ. He said, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and you. He told him, no, say whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then you. Because if you say and you make us equal, or you make me equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a clear evidence here that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not want you to exaggerate your love to him. So don't ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like we say, Bijah Muhammad. We know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a great status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is no need to use that to get to what we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to go directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servant asks you about me, I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. Anyone who asks, I will fulfill his request. Also, you find some people, they slaughter for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or go around his grave, or face his grave when they pray, or they do any of those things, like when they go to Medina during Hajj time or other times. All of this is exaggerating love to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is very bad and not accepted. Finally, from the rights that are due upon us to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to love his companions and to love his family sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those who came, التابعون, after the companions, they used to make this dua, O Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers, those who had preceded us with faith and iman. And do not make any enmity or spiteness in our hearts toward them. And that is also addressing the people or the tabi'een who came after the companions, radiyallahu anhum. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَةِ. I ask you for no recompense for what I am doing. My recompense in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what I'm asking you is to be kind to my relatives. To be kind to my relative. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith, أما بعد على أيها الناس فإنما أنا بشر يوشك أن يأتي رسول ربي فأجيب. He said, O people, I am a human being like you, about to receive the messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will answer, meaning angel of death. وأنا تارك فيكم ثقلين, and I'm leaving among you two heavy things. أولاهما كتاب فيه الهدى والنور فخذوا بكتاب الله واستمسكوا به. And he mentioned, of course, those are the book, the Quran, and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, وأهل بيتي أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي. And he said, the second thing I'm leaving is my relatives. I ask you by Allah to remember my relatives. I ask you by Allah to remember my relatives. I ask you by Allah to remember my relatives. And these are the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you want to know something about the companions, here is what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said: لا تسبوا أصحابي. Do not curse or cuss my companions in any shape or any form. فلو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهب ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه. Mud is a measure, about a handful. Handful of dates or wheat or some. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if any of you were to spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as the mountain of Uhud, he would never, or that spending would never equate a handful of the spending of my companions radiyallahu anhum. Yani, to get that status or to get that level that they have gotten is something yani far-fetched. We know that they have left their families, they have left their homes, they have left everything in life to the point that their life was meaningless when it comes to defending Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and passing this religion to us. Without them, we would never be Muslims. They are the one who carried the message. They are the one who brought the Quran to us. They are the one who wrote the Quran to us. They are the one who done everything when it comes to Islam. So belittling them or looking down at them or doing anything that harms them is directly attacking Islam and Muslim, and meaning to ruin the religion of Islam and to harm Islam and Muslims in every mean. Because if you were to make people suspicion about the people who brought this religion to us, then we will be suspicious about the whole religion being the right religion or the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الإمام أبو زرعة رحمه الله ورضي الله عنه: إذا رأيت الرجل ينتقص أحدا من أصحاب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فاعلم أنه زنديق. He said, Abu Zur'a, if you see someone belittling the companions of Allah, of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then know that he is zindiq. Zindiq can be a very disobedient person, and it can be also a kafir person. Finally, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, إذا رأيت رجلا يذكر أحدا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بسوء فاتهمه على الإسلام. He said, if you see someone belittling the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or talking bad about them, then be suspicious about his or about him being a Muslim. Yani, be doubtful about him being a Muslim, because as I mentioned, if you are doing that, then you are doubting your own religion. Or the person who does that, if someone else is doing that, then he is making you doubt your own religion. And this is the final rite of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my dear brothers and sisters, these are the rites that are due to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us. I hope that there are definitely more rites, but these are the top rites that we have to always think about when we think of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, talking about the other rites that are